Welcome back to Horizons.
Anita McKeown and Rebecca White, welcome to Horizons.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
You're here today to speak about the Climate Literacy Festival. But before we get to that, why don't you tell me a bit about yourself?
Okay, my name's Anita. I'm an artist. I'm also a researcher, and I work with BEC in education. And we look at formal and informal education in relation to, I guess, climate projects, futures literacy. And we have links with institutions like UCD and Smart Lab.
Oh, very good. And how about yourself, Rebecca?
Thanks, David. So my background is education. I started as a classroom teacher over 20 years ago. And over the years, I'm still in the education space. And then I work in global learning, development and management in offshore sailing events as a little kind of side project as well.
Oh, very good. Very good. So tell me, what is the Climate Literacy Festival?
So I think it sort of began two strands. One was linked to conversations that we had been having with Kerry ETB and Paula Tiller around literacy in general, and that how climate literacy was also part of that conversation. It's not just about reading and writing and information and messaging, and how there was a barrier to that, really. I think that was one of the motivators, really.
Climate is obviously a very hot topic, no pun intended, and climate change, but it's such a big topic, and it's such a complex topic that a lot of people are hearing about it and maybe learning about it and seeing things about it, but not really understanding it at its core. And so I think one of the motivations for us is, how can we work with our local community on events and workshops and opportunities for understanding climate a bit better at a local level, but also how that impacts on a global scale.
The festival starts on the 11th of November, which is Tuesday. But could you give me some ideas of what kind of workshops and events you'd be having at it?
Because the festival was always about, as Beck was saying, you know, understanding, but also how you can take action. So a lot of the program is either activities that are either giving people a chance to participate, as well as learning more about it, or film screening and talks. So it's a mix of kind of screenings, talks and workshops. Very, very action. I mean, the festival's called Cair Déag'd. Its tagline is crafting action today for a better tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, and looking at what we can do. I mean, it is aligned to COP. You know, we chose the dates. People might think, why is it in November? But we chose the dates to align with the global UN meeting, which is quite high level, very geopolitical, that happens every year, where decisions are made internationally about climate that affect us all. It's very abstract, you know. It's as I said, it's the geopolitical level. It's like, what does that look like in Carrigrohane or Carlow or Killy?
Is there any official connections between your festival and the big COP conference, or are you just having it at the same time to keep it in people's minds?
Not yet.
Yeah, having it at the same time. Not yet. But, you know, having it at the same time and being able to make those links, at the very least, might encourage people to look into COP more. It is a very high-level policy discussion happening, and that stuff we tend to see snippets of on the news, but there's a lot on social media and online that is directed at kind of the general public level that people can learn more about. So it's really just aligning the events so that there's hopefully that crossover in understanding.
For us, coming from that learning educational background, again, this is a way of making that awareness. Oh, there's this big geopolitical meeting, and building the connections, but also longer term, we would love to see every community having a festival like this at some point, possibly during the dates, because the COP dates are the same, more or less, every year in November.
Yeah. And do you find it difficult to sort of keep your optimism about climate action? Because when I read the sort of takeaways from the big COP conference, it's obviously more complex than this. But what I read is generally, yeah, we understand that us big countries are destroying the environment, but we're making a lot of money doing it. So we're probably just going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I think that's such a big question. I think, yes, there is a lot of what can we do, because they are making money and that doesn't affect change. But this year, the theme of COP is adaptation. So even if that is the way they're working and maybe bigger chains are not going to happen, we still, as citizens, have to adapt. And I think there's a lot we can be doing on the ground that will help us adapt and our local communities manage what will be coming down the line, as well as at the same time raising awareness, giving people a sense of agency and what they can do, which actually might then push back to say, we're not going to let you continue making money off what potentially will be huge impacts on all of us.
Yeah, very well said. So that's a great injection of positivity, hopefully. Are there any particular events on the schedule that each of you are especially looking forward to?
Moving from Anita's point about, you know, young people and sparking interest and engagement, and hopefully down the line that leads to something greater outside of, you know, the workshop and the festival. This year we have an arts-led climate workshop with transition year students from the local community. So that'll be really nice because they do learn about climate in school. And over time, you're seeing climate become more prominent in every area of the curriculum, which is fantastic, but it's still so abstract for them. So it's a really great opportunity through this workshop to build their climate literacy and then in a really interactive way, link them to that theme of adaptation. We're taking them through a design sprint. They're going to be building and creating and imagining. And all of these ways are ways for people to really connect, particularly young people, to connect with such a complex topic.
It seems like it's a great way to educate people about complex topics is through art, which it seems like you're both quite qualified in.
Yeah. And for me, that's two of the program pieces are, one is the first time screening of Dunshenicus, which was a Creative Ireland Climate Action project, and that involves a lot of local people from Drummond and artists that were looking at place and action from that perspective, and that's on the 11th of November. And then we have two workshops coming from a project called Voice, which was looking at how artists and citizens can work together to address local concerns. So we have one that brings in a workshop that engages, you're actually put in the position of an animal and you have to advocate for your policies and your ideas from what that animal needs.
Okay.
What that actually does is it encourages people to start thinking about the interconnectedness and actually what's good for them is good for us. So for example, if your animal might be a duck, for example, and you're looking at water bodies or whatever, having the things that they need, clean water and no rubbish and no dumping and whatever, is also good for us.
Right.
It's an interesting and playful way to disrupt our perspective, shift our thinking, and maybe come to policy ideas that could actually tick three boxes at once.
Yeah, and putting yourself in someone else's position is a great way to sort of build your own empathy about these topics.
Yeah.
Absolutely, which I think is really important, because it's only collectively are we going to even be able to begin to adapt and address
the
issue.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to find out more, how can they get additional information?
Online through our social media. So at FutureFocus21C with a little underscore on all your social media channels. We'll be putting out the schedules, updates, what's happening in each of the workshops. In our local area, there'll be obviously posters around the streets and everything, but we'd like to encourage as many people from all over the peninsula they're able to attend.
And we also have, as well as Future Focus, we have the Climate Care Deox social media channels as well, which is just very simple. It's Climate Care Deox. But we have Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and people can always email us. It's hello@futurefocus21c.com.
Perfect. I'm hoping you guys get great attendance and it will feed into our whole theme of biodiversity and trying to work against the rigors of climate change.
Hopefully. And I think also we hope that other people in other areas, you know, we had really good reach last year and we're hoping that people might think, oh, actually, I might pop down to the Skelly Coast and see some activities, take part in some of the activities, see a film.
Are the bulk of the events happening around the Skelly Coast?
Bulk are happening very locally in Carrisfeen, Waterville and Port McGee.
Okay.
We have reached out to see, because there's a lot of communities are doing a lot of amazing things already, and this is an opportunity to platform what they're doing too. Last year was the first year, which was very Carrisfeen centric, and this year we're reaching out to hopefully include wider participation all through the Skellig Coast, because then it's, oh well, that's not for me, but I could go here. And you know, I think it's important, sometimes we think with the scale of what needs to be done it's massive, but a lot is already being done. Sharing the good news.
Yeah. So your participation and your events are sort of spreading like flower seeds on the wind a little bit.
That's a lovely, lovely way of thinking about it, actually. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on Horizons, Anita McKeown and Rebecca White.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
This is An Ephesian Prayer by Jennifer McCabe.
May the Lord our God bless you with love. May the
Thank you very much for listening to Horizons. Feel free to contact me on davidsheehan@dioceseofkerry.ie. A very special thank you to all my contributors. Just a Thought for the Coming Week is by Olive Sharp. Until this time next Sunday, I hope you have a wonderful week.